Baseball Central and the Sportsnet Radio Network is brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for a very busy Friday, September 12th, 2014. We will have the Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment. John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us at 12:15. Bob Nightingale from USA Today at 12:40. As I said, we have a lot to get to. First thing, right out of the gate, if you haven't heard the news yet, Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles has been suspended for 25 games after testing positive for amphetamines. That suspension will take him through the rest of the regular season. It will take him into the playoffs. It is not an 80-game suspension because amphetamine use is covered under a separate section of Major League Baseball's drug testing and prevention plan. Nonetheless, as I said, it means that Chris Davis will be out of the lineup for the rest of the regular season into the playoffs, only hitting 196, but he has 26 home runs, and this is a team already without Matt Wieters. It's a team already without Manny Machado. A bunch of layers to this story. The most recent layer, Chris Davis issuing a release saying that he had an exemption last year for the use of Adderall, which is a drug used to treat ADHD, approximately 119. That's not an approximation. 119 major league players had that exemption last year. Chris Davis now saying that he didn't check to see if he had an exemption for this year, which means he's either lying or incredibly stupid or needs to get a new agent.
Say
one of
the
three
above.
Things.
All of the above.
All of the above, as Kevin Barker is saying. There are some people suggesting, frankly, that what may have happened here is Chris Davis is scuffling during the year and said, well, the stuff worked last year. I'm not taking it this year. Let's, roll the dice and gamble on it. The other layer to this story is Chris Davis had 54 home runs last year. He finished third in American League MVP voting. His increase in power made a lot of people skeptical about how it occurred. This was Chris Davis at the All-Star game last year when asked about his sudden power surge.
I think there's no reason not to believe in me. I think we've talked about the drug testing system now. It's super sophisticated. It's, in my opinion, the most strict in all of sports. I don't understand why anybody would try to cheat it. But at the same time, I know it's happened. And, for me, all I can do is go out there, continue to do what I've done, and, try to give the people a little bit of hope to look for in the future.
Yeah, there you go. Chris Davis, Mr. Integrity. Another thing to add, Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports joined us in the last half hour of the Jeff Blair Show. And he pointed out, Kevin, that, in fact, Chris Davis would have had to fail two tests because the first test that returned a positive, Major League Baseball would have gone to him and said, look, we've got a positive test here.
Right.
And we're going to test you again. So Chris Davis effectively would have known that he failed the test and then failed the second test, resulting in
they probably told him that we're going to test you again because you failed the first one.
Yeah. So don't do stuff.
Exactly right. Don't do it again. I'm telling you right now up front, they probably wrote it on a piece of paper and said, here's what you did wrong. Don't do this again. And yeah, it just, some things are unexcusable. Some things are just, you walk away scratching your head. This is it to me. You want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And when you're in the big leagues, I was the guy that was in the big leagues, not very long, but I was there enough to know that they have everything given to them. Meaning, if you need to know if something's legal, if you can take it, where you can take it, how you can take it, who you need to talk to so you can take it, they have it. And they have it in a matter of minutes. So these issues here saying that this and that, and I don't know if I was supposed to take it. It's just, things like this are inexcusable. I mean, and you have to think, how's his clubhouse going to accept him back when he comes back? Because right now they're the second best team in Major League Baseball, really, with the best record. Maybe not the best team, but with the best record. Now you're taking out a guy that's got 26 home runs when a team relies on outscoring people more than outpitching people. That just, to me, when he comes back, if I were one of the big guys like Adam Jones, I would have an issue with Chris Davis. I would have, there would be team meetings if I was on that team and I was one of the big guys. I would have to have a meeting and ask why. Why is this taking place when it doesn't have to happen? And this is one of those things, like I said, that you just walk away scratching your head. And can you learn something from it? I don't think so, because I just don't know.
I was going to ask this because, I mean, you're a guy who played in the minor leagues, and I know a lot of guys who played in the minors. They're quite frankly, this really pisses them off because you know what's available to guys in the major leagues. Sure. You know how easy it is to not make a mistake. If you don't want to make a mistake, if you want to be cautious, there are so many ways to do it. Spring training, you're given a list of supplements. Don't take these supplements because they've either A, returned positive tests in the past, or B, are just unreliable. Do not take them. You can call it. God, you can talk to your team
doctor.
There's
a hotline number, I think.
Yes, there's a hotline.
There's a hotline number. And you have the best trainers in professional sports on your team. And I'll be the first one to admit the list they give you that you mentioned, you can't understand a word on that list because you're not a doctor. Most of that stuff's in, you know, it just, you can't understand it. So what I'm saying by that is if you can't understand something, go to somebody that can understand it and say, hey, can I take what's on this list and why can't I take it? And if I need to take something, who do I talk to take it? This is what I'm saying. It just gets to the point where you understand certain things in baseball that happens. This is one of those things you can't understand because of what time of the years it's in. He's getting caught with 2 weeks left. What's he going to, he's going to hit another 100 points the last 2 weeks of the season? No, that just tells me he's been taking it for a long time and all of a sudden he just got caught. And then we understand that he gets caught the first time and then they actually tell him, hey, you got caught. Don't do it again. We're going to test you. And then he gets caught again. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, you got to wonder when a guy who has the type of year he had last year scuffles this year, if maybe it was just the lure of this, was just too much to avoid. Now, let me put this in perspective from a baseball point of view. The Orioles are going to win the American League East. And even without Chris Davis, they're going to win the American League East. But they don't have Matt Wieters. They don't have Manny Machado. Chris Davis, despite his batting average, remains a dominant power hitter. He was a guy who was expected to provide protection for Nelson Cruz. From a Jays point of view, the Jays have 6 games left against the Baltimore Orioles. Chris Davis has homered in 5 of 12 games against the Jays this year. His batting average is crap, just like it's crap against every team. But Chris Davis is a guy you worry about if you're an opposing team. The Jays have 6 games left against the Orioles. That's 6 games where they don't face Manny Machado, where they don't face Matt Wieters, and now where they don't have to face Chris Davis. Not to be too dramatic about this from a Blue Jays point of view, but this is something that will have an impact on the Jays' ability to make the playoffs, impact.
You can relate it to Edwin. When Edwin went out, it's a presence. It's something else an opposing pitcher doesn't have to worry about. And when the Jays are trying to make the playoffs and those 6 games matter more than 6 games did in April, I know every game matters, but right now those 6 games matter a lot, and you don't have to face those 3 guys you mentioned, and all of a sudden you don't have to face a guy that's got 26 home runs and 72 RBIs. Hey, it's a no-brainer. It makes everybody's job that's pitching against the Orioles easier.
The other issue we're dealing with today, the other news story in Major League Baseball, and we'll get back to Chris Davis. Bob Nightingale of USA Today will join us at 12:40. The other story to deal about, Giancarlo Stanton of the Florida Marlins, hit in the face last night by a pitch from the Milwaukee Brewers, Mike Fiers. Fractured facial bones, 3 teeth requiring significant dental surgery. This resulted ultimately in a dugout clearing incident. Fiers hit the next batter, Reed Johnson, or threw high to Reed Johnson, the next batter, led to dugout clearing incident. That aside, this is, along with Mike Trout, the face of Major League Baseball. And as a matter of fact, his father was at the game. Those of you who are watching on Sportsnet will notice Giancarlo Stanton's father coming down to be with him as he was taken off. Kevin, this is a hitter getting hit in the face.
Right.
You know, as someone who's watched a lot of baseball, you've played a lot of baseball. You know, first of all, we want Giancarlo Stanton back. We want him healthy. He's telling his teammates today that he's going to be back in the lineup next week.
Of course he is. That's what you do when you're the leader of a team.
He's a tough kid. But Kevin, going back into the box the next time, what is going to be going through his mind?
Okay, I was fortunate enough for that to never happen to me. And thank goodness it didn't. You would never wish that on anybody, to be hit with a baseball in the face. That's terrible. Never wish that. Now, with that being said, to just actually get into a box and face a guy throwing, say, 95, there's going to always, regardless of who you are, how strong you are, how big you are, how big of a presence you are, just standing at the plate, you're going to be scared. That's just, it's human nature. There's always going to be that little guy in the back of your head saying, can it happen again? And anytime around your face, I mean, let's face it, when people come to meet you, that's the first thing they see is your face. I mean, it's a terrible thing to be hit in the face, and especially with a baseball. So when he steps back in the box, like I said, it's never happened to me, but I can only imagine that it's going to be a scary feeling. I can only say that, you know, you hope he gets back next week, which I think that's probably, there's no way that can happen when you're missing teeth and your face is, I mean, he's bleeding like crazy in that photo. It's just, it's going to be so hard just to walk to the plate, to walk up on the on-deck circle and think to yourself, I have to get back in the box when I just got hit in the face. It's going to be super, super hard. And oh, by the way, to get Stanton out, you have to throw him in. That's where you throw him. You have to throw him fastballs in. And pitchers, that's what... Now, Fires, by no means, I think, was trying to hit him in the face.
I don't think he was either. And he was just distraught after the game.
Almost crying. Yeah, so it's not, but that's how you get big guys out. You have to throw them in. And it's just so happened he got hit in the face. It's going to be real tough. It's going to be very interesting to see Stanton, his first pitch, when that guy throwing really hard makes him move his feet on the fastball end. It's going to be real interesting. And, man, you just, like you said, he is one of the faces of baseball. He's an up-and-coming superstar. And he's all, I know whenever I see him playing and I'm flipping channels, I stop the channel. I want to watch him hit. You can only hope that next week, and for his team's sake, because they're in the hunt just like the Jays are, they need him back. But, man, it's going to be so scary. I can only imagine how scared he's going to be. Now, whether he'd tell people that, that's a different story, but it's got to be terrifying.
Well, and Kevin, if you're a hitter, and people need to understand this, if you're a hitter, you don't want your face, you don't want your head moving.
No.
Yeah, you want, that's got to be stationary, and you got to dig in, you got to hang in, and
it's going to be really hard. I think more times he's going to, other than a guy that's hurt something else, like a knee or that can get back quicker and doesn't need rehab games, Stanton's going to need those rehab games, not so much as seeing, you know, his swing and all of that stuff, actually being able to stand in a box and get a fastball in and taking it and having a good swing on it and just saying, I can do it. I can actually stand here and take this pitch and actually have a chance of hitting it. I think more times than not, he's going to need at least a week of that. So it's tough, man.
This, by the way, is Mike Redmond, the manager of the Miami Marlins, after the game, talking about the dugout clearing incident.
It's devastating for us. Devastating. I mean, for his season to end like that, I mean, that's not good. He hit a guy in the mouth, number one. Number two, after he hit Reed in the hand, he looks in our dugout, throws his hands up in the air like, hey, why are you guys mad? You just knocked out our best player, hit him in the mouth, and then you just hit another guy in the hand. What are we supposed to do?
That's Mike Redmond, the manager of the Miami Marlins, and talking about the dugout clearing incident that resulted. Mike Fiers hits Reed Johnson after he's hit Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, he was like, you could, he was really shaken up after. I have no, frankly, I have no idea how he stayed in the game after getting, after hitting Giancarlo Stanton. Anyhow, he hits Reed Johnson and he does walk off the mound, and the Marlins players, you could tell they were talking to him, and he holds his hands out, and you know, the first time I saw it, I thought he's challenging the dugout. I don't know if he meant that, but my first reaction as someone who's watched baseball is he's challenging the dugout.
Right.
And of course everybody runs out, and there was an incident later in the game where actually a former Blue Jays farmhand, Anthony DiSclafina, hit Carlos Gomez, and that resulted in his ejection from the game. So, as I said, an awful lot to talk about today, including, oh, by the way, a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays that starts tonight at the Rogers Centre. The Toronto Blue Jays are 3.5 games out of the second wild card spot. John Gibbons is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and John Gibbons joins us on a very, very busy Friday morning. John, thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, boys. What am I missing? You're busy, busy day.
Well, let's see. You got Giancarlo Stanton's face is busted, and, well, Chris Davis has just been suspended for 25 games after failing an amphetamine test. And, John, I mean, I want to ask you about that first out of the gate, because you guys have six games left against the Orioles. You know, I know you don't know the details yet about Chris Davis's suspension and everything, but what is that lineup like without Chris Davis, given the fact that they're already without Matt Wieters and they're already without Manny Machado?
Well, I mean, that's a big blow. You know, and he's one of the, you know, he's one of the most feared hitters in the league. You know, I mean, he's had his ups and downs this year, but, you know, with one swing of the bat, he hits it as far as anybody. And you know, he's one of those guys that can carry an offense for a while. So, you know, Jay Stenhouse just mentioned that to me just briefly. Don't have much info on it, but I mean, it's too bad. But you know what? They're doing a lot of drug testing in baseball now. You see these guys come through the clubhouses quite often, and you know, it's gonna be tough sneaking anything by these guys.
Yeah, and he's got six. I don't have to tell you this. He's got 16 extra base hits against you guys in 12 games, 10 doubles, 5 homers. I mean, he hurts you guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a tough out, especially against us. And you know, you look at the year he had last year, and of course this year he started off kind of slow, but he's picked that up. And he's a vital guy. You know, they're trying to win it over there, the whole thing, and he's a key guy for them.
Yeah, Gibby, let me ask you, besides what he does on the field, being a manager that's in a playoff race and with Buck over there in Baltimore, how does he handle it in a clubhouse? Because the clubhouse, to me, is more important sometimes when a team's already established that they're in playoffs than what happens on the field. So how would a manager go about handling this in a clubhouse?
Well, you know, Bark, it all depends on, you know, what the makeup of your clubhouse is. You know, the personalities are so different, and I mean, if I'm not sure exactly what kind of clubhouse they have, but I mean, if you look at their team, their personalities are totally different than ours is. So I'm not sure exactly how he needs to do it. I think it's going to be a shock to everybody. But you know, I'm sure he'll just tell them, hey, we got to move on. You know, we've had some bumps in the roads this year, but you know, you just got to deal with it and move on. You know, That's just the way it goes. I mean, they're a good ball club over there. I mean, they're a tough-minded ball club. You know, of course, it's going to affect them, but if it's going to kill them, I don't think so.
John Gibbons is manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He joins us on Baseball Central at noon. John, in your session with the media on Wednesday, you were asked about the possibility of moving Mark Burley up to Sunday against the Rays, giving Marcus an extra day and having him face Baltimore on Monday, an extra day probably, you know, after his complete game, even though there weren't a lot of pitches thrown. I think a lot of people assume that might be an option, especially given the fact that Mark Burley's ERA against Baltimore, as you well know, is about 4.67. It's 2.08 and 5 starts against the Rays. He pretty much owns them. Are you guys ready yet? Have you made a decision on whether Mark Burley pitches Sunday and Marcus gets pushed back?
Well, Jeff, yeah, we're close. You know, when I get in there today, I'll talk to Alex to confirm maybe a couple things. And if we're going to do that, we'll announce it soon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the main reason is for Stroman's, you know, where he's a young kid. He's thrown a lot of innings this year. He's been dominating. And we've been looking for spots, you know, along the way, you know, to give everybody a break. In saying that, just like you pointed out, you know, Burley's been pretty good against Tampa this year, struggled against Baltimore a little bit. So may make perfect sense. So, but if we're going to do something, we'll know in the next couple hours. But yeah, there's a good chance it's going to happen.
Yeah, Gibby, with every game meaning something, the back end of that bullpen is so important. With Casey Jansen having his struggles and Brandon Morrow, the last couple outings just been dynamite. Is there any chance of seeing him at the back end of the bullpen, meaning closing?
Who, Morrow?
Yeah.
Well, if the save opportunity came up tonight, it probably wouldn't be him. But you know, in the mm-hmm. next couple weeks, if everything lines up, people got to remember too. You know, for a guy to come in and save a game, you got to get to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's got to close it down at seventh and eighth mm-hmm. innings too. And you know, so that's very important. So I mean, in a lot of ways, I tell you what, you know. Morrow, you know, he's been out there three times since he's been back, mm-hmm. especially the other night against Chicago. Looked really, really good. And I tell you, it catches your attention, and you'd like to see what he can do in that role maybe. So, but I tell you what, if we continue to play good baseball the rest of the way, he's going to be a vital part of it in that bullpen late in games.
Mm-hmm. John Gibbons joins us on Baseball Central at noon. As always, we are brought to you by Home Hardware. You guys don't face Alex Cobb. Drew Smyly has been shut down for the rest of the year. You got a guy from AAA. John, I got to tell you, between Chris Davis being suspended and you missing some of these pitchers, you've got a few breaks right now.
You think the baseball gods are smiling on us?
I don't know, John. I'm just throwing that out there. And by doing that, I probably just put a colossal jinx on you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, which you usually do.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I truly am sorry about it. John, you know, we've focused a lot lately on Jose Bautista and the year he's had. And I made the point that I'm not even looking at the numbers right now with Jose Bautista. I'm sort of ready to say that this is the most impressed I have been with him at any point since he's been with the Blue Jays. Do you feel the same way? This just seems to be... This is almost like it's his crowning moment with the Blue Jays, isn't it?
Well, Jeff, you know, I was just with him last year, but you compare the 2 years, I think this one's so much better. I mean, of course, he was, you know, last year was kind of an injury plague season, you know, a couple times, but I just see him as a better hitter this year, complete hitter. He's a better fundamentally, you know, he's doing the fundamentals better, you know, when it calls for getting a runner over or things like that, or taking the two-strike hit the other way. Something like that. I mean, I really think it's all come together for him this year. You know, he said before I arrived back here last year, I mean, he had some big overpowering years for this team. But as far as maybe the complete hitter, the complete guy now, it's been a tremendous year for him. Mm-hmm. Did any of that make sense?
You bet it did. You bet it did.
Yeah. Oh, Bart could figure it out.
Yeah, you got to read between the lines, Gibby. Gibby,
you got to be able to read the lines before you can read between the lines.
Hey, see, it's every day I got to do it.
Come on, man.
Ta-da. Yeah, with that being said, Gibby, Batista's not the only guy that's been hitting. The Deonner Navarro in September has just been tearing the ball off the cover off the ball, I should say. Let me rephrase that. Given you being an ex-catcher and the wear and tear on an everyday this late in the season, how does a guy like a catcher – produce in September? How does he do it on an everyday basis?
Well, Bark, I agree with you. I mean, he surprised me. He's held up much better than I thought he was going mm-hmm. to. But the bottom line, he's a good hitter, you know. He's really got a good feel of what he's doing in the box, whether it's left-handed or right-handed. You know, he goes up there, you know, he's a smart hitter. You know, some guys just go up there and they just hit. They look for a pitch or what have you. I mean, mm-hmm. he kind of thinks it out, you know. A lot of that has to do with being a catcher. You know, thinking along with the pitchers and having game plans and like that. But he's thinking it all out. I tell you what, he's, you know, normally this time of year, like you said, the catchers are beat up. You know, the hands mm-hmm. are beat up, their legs are beat up. You know, they're really just hanging on. And that really affects your hitting more than anything else. But he's, you know, he's caught like a second wind himself. And we got a few guys that seem to have done that lately. So, But the key thing is, you know what, he's an above-average hitter to begin with. He's not a guy you're just going up there hoping gets hits. you know, he's got a great plan, and you know, he's excited to be here. He's really fit in well. And this was kind of a year for him to prove his point that he was more than a backup catcher, I think. So I think that's helping to motivate him. But I tell you what, as much as anybody in that lineup, when you need something done at the plate, you like seeing him come up there just about as much as anybody.
Right.
John Gibbons joins us on the Jeff Blair show. Yeah, right, on Baseball Central at noon. Sorry, I'm just reading a statement from Buck Showalter here. And a statement, this is what he told reporters before the game. I just want to read it to you, John, because it's vintage Buck. Quote, everybody's got a yes button and a no button. Chris's no button wasn't working real well that day.
Hey, good. Yeah.
That's vintage Buck Showalter. John, as far as Marcus Stroman goes, and again, we'll wait before the game to find out when he's going to be pitching. You talked about how you want it. You made a point. You've been very open with everybody that where possible you were going to try to squeeze in an extra day's rest here or there. Would you have done that even if he didn't pitch the complete game? You know, just because he didn't. It's not like he threw 140 pitches to get the complete game. Was that something that you were kind of thinking about anyhow before that game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you looked at the schedule coming up, and you thought, well, here's a spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give him that extra day, and it was almost an effortless outing. His last one out. I mean, he was that good. But that's kind of been the plan all year, you know, where we could pick some spots that might help these guys, whether it was bringing somebody up for a spot start or, you know, with the off days. I mean, we were gifted pretty good, you know, last month with all the off days. That really did wonders for these guys. But, you know, this is the toughest month there is. We still have 17 games left, and we're going to need these guys to be strong. So it makes perfect sense, really does.
John, we're going to let you run and get ready for the game tonight. Again, thanks for joining us. Best of luck in this 3-game series, and go get them.
Yeah, good luck, Gibby.
It's John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays 3.5 games out of the second wildcard spot. First of 3 games against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. And interesting. I think we can safely say that Mark Burley's going to make the start Sunday and Marcus Stroman's going Monday. I think we'll just say that.
That sounds right to me unless Alex talks. Well, one has a lot of success against one team, one doesn't.
Well, it's one of those things. I take John at his word that they were looking at trying to give Marcus some extra rest. And you know, you've got that factor. Plus, you've got the weight of statistical evidence that suggests that you probably want Mark Burley facing the race. Why not do it?
Yeah, I think Gibby gets back to Gibby being a field manager. How does it feel to him swapping those guys?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel right to do that? And I'm sure he went and asked these guys, how do you feel? Because that's what you do when you're a good manager this time of the year. You want everybody to be on board at the same time. You don't want to be springing it on somebody and saying 2 days before they have to start, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm sure these guys have already had this discussion. I'm sure they've already made their decision. We probably don't know the final decision yet, but I'm sure that's what's happened. And you know, it's going to work out the way it should. The bottom line is you can erase all of these questions, go out and score 10 runs, and forget about it. It's simple.
It's Baseball Central at noon, brought to you by Home Hardware with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. All right, it's time for the Home Hardware Ask the Expert segment. And I got some good ones here. But you know what? I got a guy who played first base.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to ask you this question because this is something where having a guy who's been in the field can bring something to this. There seems to be intense conversations, Kevin, with a runner and first in the first baseman. What are they usually discussing? That from Eric Chan.
Okay, Eric, that's a great question. Well, some of it I can't say because it's just, you know, two guys talking about nothing. But most of it is normally about pitching. It's normally, you know, what do you see from this guy? Why is this guy throwing me breaking balls? Didn't realize this guy had a great breaking ball. If I was the first baseman, I'd be like, yes, he's always had that. You just, you know, he's never thrown it against you. It's things normally about what's going on in the field, and it's normally about the opposing pitcher. It's either about, hey, what do you think he's going to throw me tonight?
You'll give a guy information.
Well,
about
that? I mean, it's not some random guy. I know the guy and I've known him for years, yeah, I would say, hey, how do you think he's going to get me out? And he's going to be like, yeah, look, slider, second pitch. He likes to throw it. Something like that. Just, you know, it's not always, he's not going to give me pitch to pitch, but it's, you know, it's something around the area. And what I tell, it's not going to be something that's going to drastically change the game, but it would be like, yeah, you know, he's got a real good feel for his breaking ball. You may want to look for that. Now, the bottom line is I still got to go up and hit it,
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether I know he's got a good one or not. But it can be things like that. It can also be normally it's, you know, how's your family? How's mm-hmm. life treating you? How do you like Toronto? How do you like, you know, Boston? It could be numerous things like that. But normally it's about something that's going on in the field. And, you know, it's always productive, normally.
Was there any particular major league conversation at first base that was kind of cool that you remember? When you had a guy, when you were on first base or when there was a guy base with you?
Well, I've had some bad ones, and normally the bad ones are about the umpires.
Oh, okay.
That was a real, and you if you notice that the first base umpire is really close to the guy standing at, you know, the first baseman and the guy standing up first. And when two guys are talking about umpires, it's normally not good.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's, you know, the conversation is usually a couple of bleeps, and usually the first base umpire could hear those things and would say, you know, you guys need to clean that up, or, you know, remember I'm umpiring tomorrow, things of that nature. And, you know, it gets, you know, kind of heated and funny mm-hmm. and back and forth. So it's a lot about the umpires. It's a lot about the pitchers, because, you know, pitching's hard to, baseball's a hard game. It's hard to face an opposing pitcher, especially in September mm-hmm. when you've never faced a guy and you want to know what this guy's got. And if that guy says, hey, you may want to look breaking ball, just little things like that. It's not always.
Would you ever lie to somebody?
Of course.
If you saw me in for, you'd lie to me, right? I said, hey, Barker, what's this guy got?
Yeah, I would say if it was R.A. Dickey pitching, I'd say look fastball. look fastball. He loves throwing his fastball all the time. So,
that's a great answer, and it's a very good question from Eric Chan on our home.
Very good question.
Yeah, well,
a lot of times it's funny, and a lot of times it's about umpires, because everybody likes to argue about, and it's normally about the home plate umpire, because sometimes, you know, they're not good.
Yes.
And we have to voice our opinion, and it just so happens that the first base umpire is standing really close. So, you know, that's funny, and it makes it funny. And
when a first base coach is talking to the base runner, do you try to
always
listen
in? But it's funny sometimes, because sometimes, you know, they're saying it in Spanish.
Yeah.
And you pick up little pieces, and then you look over, and you're trying to figure out what it is in Spanish. So that adds a little added mix to it. And it's always trying to get a, you know, whether a guy's going to run. I always peek at a guy to see if he's going to run. And sometimes the first base umpire or the first base coach will walk over to the guy and go, he's a 1-2. That can mean go next pitch, or that means don't go, or mm-hmm. there's certain different signs. And it all depends on how long you've been around. You can read between the lines, and you know, knowing that a guy's not a 1-2, meaning a 1-2 is really fast.
Mm-hmm.
That usually means don't go. And if he says you need to go next pitch, well, you kind of read between the lines, but you have to be around. It's kind of a, you know, it's a back and forth kind of, they're not wanting to know what you're doing and vice versa. And it's all fun trying to figure those kind of things out. And first base is like a shortstop. You're kind of the quarterback. You're involved in pretty mm-hmm. much every play, and you can hear things. And sometimes if you figure something out, if a guy's going, you can relay that to the shortstop to get him to cheat towards second, to make mm-hmm. the tag easier. It's just a lot of things you can do. And
did you have signs for that?
I sure did. You could rub down your leg. You could take your hat off. You could move your hat. I could adjust my hat. That mm-hmm. was one. I could whistle at the shortstop and give him the two sign, which means two outs or one out, or you could do numerous things. And my favorite, we had a lot of plays with the pitcher and the first baseman. Cause if you know a guy's going, you want him to pick over.
Mm-hmm.
You want him to make him get closer, and you can also pick him off because his lead's bigger.
Right.
So I would always relay it to the pitcher. That I always did that.
How would you do that?
It's easy. You could always kick dirt at him. You could, like, he would be, it's hard to kick dirt at a guy in mm-hmm. Rogers Center because there's not a lot of dirt. But at normal stadiums, you can kick dirt at him, and you could throw dirt. You could take your glove off and adjust your batting gloves.
Right.
There's numerous things you can do, but to not make it obvious.
There you go.
That's what you're trying not to do, is make it obvious.
There's a lot going on at first base.
It's a lot of thinking. They say you can throw anybody at first base. Well, a guy that it took a very long time to be halfway decent at first, I can say that's not true.
A reminder to submit your home hardware, ask the expert questions to sportsnet.ca.
That was a good question.
/experts. That was a fun question. Mm-hmm. Bob Nightingale of USA Today will join us when Baseball Central at noon continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central at Noon, brought to you by Home Hardware, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your viewing and listening pleasure.
That's crazy.
I know it is. The Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays will start. I have no idea why I did that. The Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays will start a three-game series tonight at the Rogers Center. The Jays 3.5 games out of the wild card. Everybody else in front of them seems to be playing everybody else in front of them at this stage of the season. So a lot at stake. We'll have the game in Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet. First pitch set to fly at 7 o'clock. You know that we've been on top of the breaking news all day. First reported by Dan Connolly of the Baltimore Sun. Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles has been given a 25-game suspension after testing positive for amphetamines. The suspension will obviously take Chris Davis through the rest of the regular season and 8 or 9 games into the postseason, depending on the wording. Some people are saying 8, some people are saying 9. Should be a matter of simple math. I'm bad at it, so I'm just going to say he's going to miss a good chunk of the playoffs, and we can assume that the Orioles are going to get in there. Chris Davis, in a release, said that he had an exemption for Adderall last year, which is a drug used to treat AD, attention deficit disorder. 119 major league players had exemptions for this last year. That's a completely removed from this situation. But Chris Davis is essentially saying he had the exemption last year. He didn't have it for this year, but he kept using the drug. You know, we'll need to parse a few things and figure a few things out. Either Chris Davis is lying or he's just, as I said, incredibly stupid. Chris Davis is hitting .196, but he's 26 home runs. 5 of those against the Blue Jays. Got 16 extra base hits against the Blue Jays. Guess what? The Jays have 6 games left against the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are without Matt Wieters. They're without Manny Machado. They're now without Chris Davis. Yes, indeed, they are cheering about this, even though they won't say it publicly. You can bet your ass that they're cheering about this down in the Blue Jays clubhouse as we speak. Bob Nightingale is a national baseball writer for USA Today, and Bob Nightingale joins us on Baseball Central at noon. Bob, thanks so much for doing this. First of all, before we get to the failed or the positive test for amphetamines, what is this going to mean to the Orioles going forward?
Well, I mean, even though, you know, like you say, it was only in .196, he did have all that home run power, and you know, certainly gave Nelson Cruz protection in that lineup. And he was a threat, you know. And now you're without this guy. They already lost, you know, Machado, lost Wieters, you know. And now this—it's a monstrous blow. I don't care how long suspension is. I don't think we'll see him play again this year. I don't care if the Orioles win the World Series. I can't see him stepping back in that field.
Yeah, Bob, let me ask you, what you know what he does on the field. What is that going to do to the clubhouse? Because the clubhouse means a lot this time of the year when you're getting ready for a playoff push and something like this happens to a guy that has 26 home runs and helps your team. What do you think it's going to do to that clubhouse?
Well, I guess guys mad. I mean, the Orioles fans are going to live it. I'm sure the front office is, and I'm sure the players too. Like, how can you be that stupid? Remember now, under the drug testing program, you got to get caught twice to get suspension. So this means this guy was stupid enough to get caught once already this year, get a warning, and then try it again. And for him now, the unfortunate part is he had the big breakout season last year with the 53 home runs, and everybody's saying, how is this possible? Is he cheating? Well, now it clouds everything he did last year as well.
Mm-hmm. Bob Nightingale of USA Today joins us on Baseball Central at noon. We know in the past that, well, looking at the case of Melky Cabrera, Melky Cabrera was essentially kept off the postseason roster by his teammates when he was eligible to come back after that 50-game suspension. I know this is a different case than that, but
I'm wondering if you're the Baltimore Orioles and you're already into the, if you're playing eight or nine postseason games, you're doing okay without Chris Davis. What do you think the chances are of, and again, we don't necessarily know the dynamics of that clubhouse, but what do you think the chances are that the Orioles just say, hey, Chris, nice knowing you, stay away?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he played his last game in Orioles uniform. I mean, this guy was paid $10 million this year. He was eligible for arbitration, so he's going to get a bump to 13 or 14. I'd give the money to somebody else. But I'm with you. I mean, Cabrera is a thing like, okay, he would be eligible for the World Series. But, yeah, I mean, he took so much time off, the guy's going to be rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who had trouble not playing the game when he was cheating, let alone playing, batting 196. So you're not going to start say they win the division series, you're not going to play a man short for a few games waiting on Chris Davis. So really you're talking about the World Series at the earliest. And I'm with you. Why punish a guy that helped you get to a World Series by taking him off the roster and putting a guy like Chris Davis on it when he wouldn't have seen live pitching for a month?
Bob, the other story, of course, everybody in baseball is following today, Giancarlo Stanton recovering after being hit in the face. What's the latest on that? And, we saw it, and obviously it's a serious injury. What do you think it means for the future of Giancarlo Stanton? Because this guy was one of the faces of baseball, and I mean, there are teams already salivating at the possibility of getting him locked up or trying to make a play for him before he becomes a free agent. How does this factor into that now?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating how this plays into his psyche in the sense the Marlins are planning to give him a huge contract offer this winter. You know, you're probably talking, about at least $225, $250 million to keep him around. And they weren't going to go public to figure, but they were going to go public to say how big that there's going to be the biggest contract ever given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he may be thinking, you know what, after what just happened to me, my career could end any time. So all of a sudden, he may say, let me take the security here. Yeah, I want to win. I hope I can trust the Marlins and they'll build around me. But this is, might be a wake-up call. Like, hey, a guy can go down any time. And something like this is such a serious injury. It's too bad he's not going to see pitching again until next February. Because now he's going to have 6 months, 5 months to think about this.
Mm-hmm. Bob, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much, as always. You be well.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, my pleasure. See
take
you
care.
Guys.
Take that care. Is Bob Nightingale of USA Today joining us in Baseball Central at noon.
It's
that was the whole thing with Stanton. The Marlins were getting ready to pay him a crap load of money,
mm-hmm.
and commit to him as their franchise player. I don't know. I mean, you've got to see how he comes back before you do that.
Right. Well, you have to remember he is a great player, and great players will figure it out. It just may take, like I said, he's the one guy that needs rehab. He needs to actually go to games. He doesn't even have to swing. Just go and watch pitching in a live game with guys throwing hard and maybe getting a couple of balls in and just see how he reacts and just see how he can go in every day and figure it out. Because the first three or four games and the first three or four pitches that he sees in there close to his body and around his face and are up around the shoulders, it's going to be tough.
And you're right. That's how you got to pitch him. You got to pitch.
Big guys got to get it close to him.
So, we've got some breaking news, more breaking news before we let you go. Rob Ford has announced that he's withdrawing from the Merrill race. Again, Rob Ford withdrawing from Toronto's Merrill race. Go to 680 News for coverage on that. What a busy day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to repeat that, Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, is currently in hospital. He is withdrawing from the Merrill race. Again, our station 680 News. Our friends at 680 News will have that covered. Apparently, Doug Ford, his brother's putting himself in the belt. It's all happening. I'm going to go watch some baseball tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great weekend, everybody.